Welcome to the home of 100 to 1 Faith Radio. My name is Larry Gent, and this is our third coronavirus broadcast. Our church buildings are still closed out of an abundance of caution, but our faith goes on and on. Today we share the message for March 29, 2020. From Grace United Methodist Church in the beautiful Heartwood community of Virginia. Our scripture today is from 2 Kings 7. We're reading about a time when the kingdom of Israel was under siege, under a forced military quarantine. A mortal enemy had surrounded their capital city, and there appeared to be no hope, no way out. But there was a prophet praying. The prophet Elijah was in Samaria, and he knew that God was in charge. In spite of all the evidence around them, he said the siege would soon be lifted, and God was going to do it. Well, here's what happened. Now there were four men with leprosy at the entrance of the city gate. And they said to each other, "Why should we stay here until we die? If we say, 'We'll go into the city,' the famine is there and we'll die. And if we stay here, we'll die. So let's go over to the camp of the Arameans and surrender. If they spare us, we'll live. If they kill us, well, then we just die." At dusk, they got up and went into the camp. And when they reached the edge of the camp, no one was there, for the Lord had caused the army to hear the sounds of chariot and horses and a great army, so that they said to one another, "Look, the king of Israel has hired Hittites and Egyptians to attack us." So they got up and fled in the dark and abandoned their tents and their horses and their donkeys. They left the camp as it was and ran for their lives. Well, the men who had leprosy reached the edge of the camp, and they entered one of the tents and ate and drank. Then they took silver, gold, and clothes and went off and hid them. Then they returned and entered another tent and took some things from it and hid them too. But then they said to each other, "What we're doing isn't right. This is a day of good news, and we're keeping it to ourselves. If we wait until daylight, punishment will overtake us. Let's go at once and report this to the palace." So our story begins with four lepers. We talked about leprosy last week and how people with leprosy in the Old Testament times were living under a lifelong quarantine. No one was allowed to touch them. People really weren't even allowed to talk to them. They were supposed to wear a covering over their face everywhere they went and call out, "Unclean, unclean, unclean," so nobody would get near them. Well, these were people who lived on the edge of society. The fact is, during this quarantine time, people had their own problems and their own concerns, and really nobody cared whether these four lepers lived or died. They were more than a nuisance than a part of the community. Everybody inside the city was hunkered down and trying to deal with their own death sentence. Things were so bad that the people had even resorted to cannibalism. The strong had begun preying upon the weak. Well, Elijah had been praying himself, and he knew that the the siege was almost over. The quarantine was just about to be lifted. He knew that the enemy was also a captive to the will of God. As long as they were camped out, they were held captive too. But even the greatest army is still captive to the will of God. And when the hand of God moved upon them overnight, suddenly they ran away into the darkness, and they were gone as quickly as they had come. Well, in fact, they left so suddenly that they left all their supplies behind. And suddenly these lepers had never had it so good. All their lives they had been begging for scraps of food, and suddenly they had a banquet laid out before them. They could eat and drink their fill, maybe for the first time ever. Oh, it felt so good to have more than enough. For so long they had been begging for little copper coins. But now they were rich beyond measure. They found gold and silver, and they had treasure of their own. All along they had been dressing in rags that had been cast out on the garbage heap. And now here they were dressed in fine clothes. It was more than they could have ever dreamed or hoped for. Those who had nothing were suddenly blessed beyond all measure. But as they were enjoying the fruits of God's blessing, they looked around them and they said, "This isn't right. It's not right to keep this to ourselves. It's not right to keep all of this windfall. We better tell somebody so that everybody can join in the celebration." So they broke their own quarantine. They went through the city gates, and they went to the very people who had cast them out. And they said, "We've got good news, y'all. The crisis is over. And God has supplied us with more than enough for everybody." I don't know if they even found toilet paper in the tents or not. All I know is that they had found more than enough for everyone. And what do you suppose happened? What do you suppose happened when these four stragglers came in and broke the quarantine of that town and said, "This is a day of good news"? When no one believed them, of course. Even when the lepers called them out to see for themselves, they didn't believe their own eyes and ears. They couldn't believe that they were safe. They couldn't believe that all was suddenly well. They couldn't possibly believe that God had answered prayers and then blessed them with much, much more than they even asked for. It was all too much to understand. You know, as we speak this morning, I believe the whole world is under siege, just as the people of God were in those days. We have suddenly been surrounded by a deadly enemy that came upon us suddenly. And here we are, hunkered down together, and no one feels safe. No one knows where to go or what to do or who to trust. We're facing an enemy that we cannot see. And so we're all erecting barriers just as surely as they erected a barrier around that city. We're erecting barriers around ourselves. But as we do so, as we build that quarantine, we're keeping ourselves captive. We're not just captives inside our own walls. We're captives by official decree of the government, just like they were then. No one comes, no one goes. There's an enemy outside our gates. And more than that, we're held captive by fear. Fear of an unknown enemy, fear of an unprecedented enemy, fear of an unprecedented situation, fear that we don't know how long this will go on or what the outcome will be. That's not so for the people of God. God's love casts out all fear. And like Elijah, we know who's in control because we know the one who is in control. Now, yeah, this enemy came upon us without warning, without any kind of preparation. This enemy came upon us before we even knew what was happening. But by the hand of God, this enemy, just like the one camped out around that city, this enemy is soon going to be driven away. As quickly as it came, it will suddenly be gone. But you can count on this. When it is suddenly gone, the fear will not be lifted from people's hearts. The fear is going to make it really difficult for people to start trusting again and start coming out and being with each other again. Fear is a cruel taskmaster, isn't it? You see, the enemy loves to use fear to keep us apart, to keep us sequestered, to keep us boarded up, and to keep us from each other. Like those lepers at the gate, we children of God already know what the world cannot yet see. God has blessed us beyond what we can imagine. God has provided beyond what we even deserve. Our needs have not just been met, but even in this time of barricades and quarantines, God has been blessing us in ways that the world cannot yet imagine. Now, when we tell the world that we're blessed, when we tell the world that we're in God's hands and have nothing to worry about, we sound crazy to them. Just like those four lepers sounded crazy to the people who were locked up by their own fear. You see, moving away the enemy, getting rid of that virus, getting rid of the enemy that surrounds us, that's not what's going to set us free. And when the economy returns, that's not what's going to make us rich. We know that only God can truly break the quarantine bonds that hold us down. We know that only the love of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit can completely set us free. We know that only the love of Christ can bring us all together. And it's that kind of heavenly riches that truly make us wealthy people and enable us to live with joy in our hearts, regardless of our circumstances, regardless of the headlines, regardless of what the news says is coming today. You know, as children of God, we already have the foretaste of those heavenly riches that the world cannot even imagine. But here's the thing. We've discovered riches in a world that has gone mad and is starving to death behind walls of fear. They're not starving for want of food. They're starving for lack of trust and lack of hope and lack of peace in their hearts. They are starving to death, and we've found abundance, more than we can use, more than we ever need. God blesses us with amazing abundance, so much so that it's not right for us to keep this to ourselves. It's not right for us to squirrel away God's blessings and say, we'll keep that for a rainy day. It's not right that anybody on earth should have to lay their head down in fear tonight when God has already begun to bless us beyond what we can even imagine. We can't keep it to ourselves. And we're not the only ones who have come to a moment in history where we realize this. Back at the founding of our nation, there was a young evangelist named John Wesley who came to America fresh out of seminary. He had just graduated college, he had done all his studies, and he was ready to set the world on fire. He figured he'd come to Georgia and hold church services, and then he'd spend most of his time evangelizing the Indians. And when he preached to the native people of America, they would get so blessed to hear his amazing intellect that they would come to Christ in droves. Well, it didn't quite work out that way. When we join the scene of John Wesley in our story today, I have to tell you, he was on his way back to England with his tail between his legs. He was depressed and downcast and felt like a complete failure to God and people alike. You see, his ministry there didn't go very well. Well, okay, that's putting it mildly. The fact is, people got so mad at him that they put him under house arrest, and they said, we're going to put you under trial and throw you in jail. But for right now, we're going to put you under house arrest, and we're not going to guard the door. And well, tell you what, there's a ship in the harbor that sails for England first thing in the morning, and we're not telling you to jump bail and escape. But what we are telling you is it might be a good idea if you're on that ship in the morning. John Wesley, the great evangelist, John Wesley, the guy who was going to set the world on fire, John Wesley had to struggle up to the ship by half wading and half swimming to get aboard before it left for England. And he was one whipped puppy as he crawled aboard that ship. But his story got even worse from there. You see, as that ship started off across the Atlantic, it ran into a terrible storm. And poor Wesley was down in his berth dealing with terrible seasickness. Now, if you've ever really been seasick, then you know you're probably not going to die from it, but you definitely wish that you would. That was the situation he was in. He had his head over a bucket. He was groaning. He was miserable. He was praying, God, just take me now. And he heard a strange sound. A ridiculous sound. He heard up above his head on the deck of the boat, people were singing and praying and rejoicing. Well, what were they doing up there on top of the deck where the storm was lashing them and they were in the rain? And what kind of crazy people were these? Well, they were a bunch of Christians called Moravians. And Wesley went up to talk to them, and he said, what is the matter with y'all? Don't you know we could die? And they said, I'll tell you what we know, John. We know we're in God's hands, and God has already saved us. That's what we know. So if it's God's will that the ship could go down today, then we know God's going to give us eternal reward. But if it's God's will to see us through, then we know we're going to survive by the grace of God. And either way, living and serving him or going to heaven and praising him, we know we're already saved to the uttermost. John Wesley wrote in his journal, "I had come to Georgia to save the Indians, but who was there to save me?" It turns out God sent the Moravians to lead John Wesley to salvation. That day on the deck of that boat began a spiritual journey where he went and studied at their feet to hear more about this salvation he knew nothing about. And it led him to the day when he came to the altar and received a heartwarming experience, an assurance that he was completely saved and that his life belonged completely to God from now on. That story of John Wesley's salvation, well, it changed the world. He started the most potent evangelistic movement that the world has ever known, and it's still going on today. People are still sharing the good news of salvation, all because some Moravians took time to pray with John. Now, we also have that kind of assurance. Christ has poured out his love on us so that we know that no matter what happens with this virus, our lives are in God's hands, and we are saved for all eternity. That assurance is still going to change the world we live in, but not if we keep it to ourselves. This is a day of good news, and we cannot keep it to ourselves. If you know, as John Wesley knew that he knew that he knew that he knew, if you know that this is a day of good news, as those lepers knew that the enemy was gone and defeated and there was more than they ever hoped or dreamed for, if you know that kind of spiritual abundance, then the world is going to be changed if you start sharing it now. If you know that you're saved beyond all doubt, no matter what happens, then it's time for you to start singing. And if you don't know, if you're really not sure, if part of the reason you're so afraid is you don't know whether God has eternal salvation in store for you, if you don't know that there even is a God, I've got good news for you today. God is in control of this storm. God is in control of this quarantine. God is bigger than the enemy we face. And we are already winning because God has already blessed us beyond anything we can hope for, anything we could ever deserve. God has blessed us beyond what we can even begin to use for ourselves. In fact, we know that God's gonna win. No matter what the circumstances may say, no matter what the headlines say tomorrow, you already know God's gonna win. God's gonna change this world. God's gonna share salvation with those who need it most. God has got this. Would you pray with me right now? Lord, we all need your assurance. We need the kind of assurance that comes not just from what we see or hear, but the assurance that comes from our hearts when you cast out all fear and bless us beyond all measure for all eternity. Our safety, our lives, our families, our loved ones, they're all in your hand. Lord, fill our souls with your salvation. Fill our souls with the kind of assurance that burns within us. Fill our souls with the joy that's not dependent on our circumstances. Fill our souls with the kind of joy that the world cannot give and the world cannot take away. Lord, set our hearts free indeed. And then, Lord, send us out to tell a frightened, starving world that our God is here to save them too. Even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly and save us all. Amen.